Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. This is the conclusion to episode 229. This is part two of The Burden. Today is Sunday, January 15th, 2012. Welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos. I'm coming to you from the studios of North Minneapolis, Pastor Paul's podcast. Actually, that's a microphone, computer, and some software. As we approach January 2012, I wanted to do something a little special for our January intro. So today I have with me here Pastor Paul. And I have some questions for you, Pastor Paul. Let me get my questions out here. Okay. Are you ready, Pastor Paul?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay. There's been a rumor for about a year now that you are dead. Is that rumor true? Are you dead?
Actually, there's been, I've been dead three times this year, and I have to live that down, so to speak. But no, I'm alive, well, and kicking, enjoying life to the fullest and doing what I'm supposed to do down here on the north side.
Okay, so in other words, I am talking to a real person. You are alive and you are here today. Okay, so we got that out of the way. My second question, in connection with that rumor, when people come here to Pastor Paul's and they see all the hard work that you do, I hear them say something like, Pastor Paul, you're going to work yourself to death. Do you think there's possibly a connection between the rumor of your death and the hard work that you do here?
Not really. What I think is I don't have time for dying or time for getting old. I'm 80 years old, and I've never had the time to get feel that old. Keep yourself busy, folks, and during this time of real trouble in our country, keep yourself occupied. When you get up in the morning, clean the house and get yourself going and start making plans for the day.
Today's message is called Why? And I want to ask you, why do you do the hard work that you do?
Oh, I love to work in the first place. I've always had my hand in a lot of things. But basically right now is not the time to lay down the plow, but to plow full speed ahead and to make this thing work. People out there in the country are in dire straits. We need prayer and fasting for them. I hope that you will pray and fast for me. And look on the bright side of things. Look on the bright side. Don't look at the dark side. Don't worry about what's going to happen tomorrow. Start working on today and start praying and fasting and believing God for a miracle. That's what I'm believing for right now, with hardly any funding coming in here, people cutting out and running. I'm getting more food than I ever had in all of the time I've been down here. So God is really blessing us here on the north side. And that's how I feel about it.
Okay, Pastor Paul, my final question. We're entering a new year, 2012. What message do you have for your podcast listeners for the coming year?
Keep looking up. Keep helping one another. If you can help someone, do it, and God will bless you back. It's a time for sharing right now and caring for one another and make an example to people that we do care and we do love. This is a great country, and we're on the throes of making it even greater. That's my word.
Thank you, Pastor Paul. The messages for January are: why, serve, the burden, rock plows. Have a great new year. God bless you.
No, the burden of a true preacher is of God. I have no intentions of getting into any kind of politics, being elected this office or that office or whatever. No, none whatsoever. No, a true preacher has a burden of the Word of God. His burden is for souls. Isn't that what Jesus came for? Aren't we to follow His example? He came here to save sinners. And that none should perish but have everlasting life. And just like Jesus longed to save, so do we go about with the same message. Happy with the burden. Joyful with the burden. Excited with the burden. Can you get excited about a burden? Yeah, you can. If you take it on. If you stand and look at the burden, it's too much of a burden. It's like housewives listening on the radio right now. Okay, now maybe after this program, you're going to turn on How the World Flip-Flops. Or As It Turns, or something like that. Because you're looking at your house, and God, it's such a burden. My house is such a burden. I'm burdened with it. Dishes and towels and rags, boo-hoo. Dirty socks and towels, boo-hoo. Dishes and dust and rags, boo-hoo. What a burden I have. Instead of rolling up your sleeves, doing the job, taking on the burden, and then you're happy when you take on the burden. You get one room done, you get another room done, you get another room done, and you're unburdened about that, aren't you? You know what? The same burden will be there tomorrow. It's the same with the gospel. If you don't take on the burden, you're more burdened. If you do a half of a job in your house, do a half of a job of preaching, a half of a job on your job where you're at, it's more of a burden. You spend more time trying to get out of work than if you really took on the job and went all the way with it. Do you ever get up and feel miserable? I'm just going to do half a job today. I'm going to play it slow. Take it easy today. And you have a harder day? No, you got to get into it. You got to take that burden and say, hey, grab that bag of burden and throw it on your back. That's what you do. Man, look at that burden. I don't want to pick up that burden. Oh, no, I don't want nothing to do with that. I want nothing to do with that north side.
And them folks down there in that north side, man, there's all them hubcaps are stolen off of cars and things are ripped off down there. That's bad down there. There's murders going on down there. I don't want to be down there. That's too much of a burden. And so rather than deal with a burden, we look at the burden on TV. And we look at the burden on Ethiopia. And we look at the burden and we hide this place and we hide that place. We don't really get involved. And it's more work staying uninvolved than getting involved. I mean, where can you hide? Preacher, where can you hide? I'm talking to the radio preachers here. Where can you hide if the Lord has given you a burden? You can't get in the belly of a whale. You get burped out. You'd be all full of slime and seaweed. You look like some kind of an old hippie. So for all that, yet it is a burden, isn't it? And you're saying, someone on the radio, why is the word of the Lord a burden? Because if it's only of man, we have no burden. Somebody says, you know, I got a good idea. And if it's a good idea from a man, you can't pick up a burden on that thing. See, because, like I say, if it comes from a man, you won't have the burden. We'll preach like humanism. We'll preach half-true messages with no balance. We'll attack the world's morals when they have none. We'll preach change before we offer Jesus Christ. What is the answer for the world today? Jesus Christ. Not picket lines around all, and not picketing all over there. Not going and attacking the president in the White House for change. Not ripping up magazines and getting into all that. No, lift up the Lord Jesus Christ and says, if I and I be high and lifted up, I'll draw all men unto myself. But see, if we preach Jesus Christ crucified, buried, and risen again, and that no salvation comes but through Jesus Christ, it's a burden. It becomes a weighty matter with us. And then, you know, it seems futile. Modern thought seems so futile. Modern thought seems so, here's another good word for you, dumb. Modern thought seems so nonsensical. Modern thought seems such a waste of time. Who cares how an old dinosaur's kneecap got where it is? Who cares? Who cares how much an ape looks like a man? Who cares? True, some of us act like apes. Maybe that's where the word swingers came from. Bunch of apes gone ape. Never stops us from sinning. Never stops us from having our hair shoot off, bald around the sides, and one shot coming out all pink and purple, at, you know, like the purple lights. Why did we stop? We really did not have a burden of the word of the Lord. Or we wouldn't have stopped. We would have been like Paul and said, no, I got to shout all the louder now. We can't help but speak the things which we have seen and heard. I got it in my bones. I'm hot. I believe that the burden of the Lord becomes a burden in reception of it. You cannot preach, in other words, what you have never received or experienced. And I'll tell you something, for the experiences I've had down here working this mission, why, they are worth, oh, I don't know, I mean, there's nothing that could buy these experiences. Now, you can't preach conviction of sin unless you've suffered it. How many have suffered conviction of sin? After I got saved, I suffered for 9 months. I was so convicted. You can't preach repentance unless you have practiced it. You can't talk about these things. But there, you can talk about them, yeah, you can talk about them, but there'll be no power in it. No power in what you talk about unless you have experientially proved it in your own soul. It's so easy to tell if a man knows from whence he speaks, or if he preaches from hearsay. Son of man, eat this roll, in Ezekiel. It'll be sweet in your mouth and bitter in your belly. A lot of times we take on something, oh, this is so good. Yum, 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 yum. Yum, yum, yum. I thought you said this was going to be a real burden. I love being down here in the North Side. And I love it. I love it so much. Give it to me. Yum, yum. And we partake of it and we eat it. And we eat that roll and that scroll that God has given to us. And it tastes so good in our mouth and so sweet. And it gets down in our belly and it gets bitter. And then we need the bowels, it says, of mercy. Why do we need the bowels of mercy? Because we have to receive mercy so we'll have mercy on others. You can't give mercy to others if you haven't received it yourself. You can't receive it yourself until you just become miserable and you really need it. I believe that true preaching is like like an artesian well. It flows from the depths of the soul. But they had to have a whole lot of digging going on down there. And that kingdom on the inner man had to be a whole lot of digging down in there to get that well deep. Because without Jesus Christ making a well within us, we have no outflow. We are shallow and we are stagnant. And we can't truly convey the truth to others because we're just shallow. If grace, I'm saying, hasn't given it to us. Grace God gives you when you're going through these things, when He's digging out that well. And starts digging that old well out. And those wells and those shovels are trials and experiences. And all those things you have to go through so that you can have a well without an end, a well within. And out of it, it says, will flow rivers of living waters. Now listen, this beautiful and this abundant and this sufficient grace message bows our knees. You know why it bows our knees? It is excessive grace. Abundant grace. It'll overwhelm us. And receive all these wonderful truths from God. How can we sit on them? Being where I'm at right now, I have received such a great, and I had it when I was out there too. I always preach grace message. But now being down here, I have received such a deep knowing of the grace of God, I can't sit on it, and it's a fire in my bones. And when I hear some shallow fellow that comes out with some kind of legalism that doesn't portray the grace of God that's sufficient in every area of your life, then my well starts to overflow. But it had to get there through a time of trial and all of that. And I'm not talking about getting melancholy. Don't get melancholy. You listen on the radio, I just hate that. When people get melancholy, I know, but, hey, if you just give up and go with it, pick up the burden, I'll tell you, you got to go all the way with it. How can you pick up a half a bag? You're only going to pick up half of the burden? There's no such thing. You can drag it along and wear yourself out. Oh, preachers, I hope you're listening to this. We're sitting on such a message. It's so hot and so stormy and so exciting. I mean, it is the strong winds of the Spirit that blows the messenger of God to get up off of it. He is so windblown and so effectual in his preaching, and he has an effectual calling, and he is shaken. And so, see, even the reception of the message of God is a burden. To receive it. Well, when you receive it, now you got it. And now that you got it, God says, I will make you willing in the day of my power. Now you did it. You ever say that to yourself? No, I did it. I committed myself. Well, if you've committed yourself and you don't follow through, you're going to be committed to Anoka. Because God isn't going to let you go. You're just going to walk around trying to get away from the burden of the word of the Lord. God's, and I don't know how people can say, I received a word from God to come and do this and such and so and so. And the next day, you don't see him. I mean, I feel sorry for them, because if they truly received it from God, there is no rest. I mean, it would be totally insane for me to even think of leaving my spot. Where would I go? Where would I go with this tremendous burden? And believe me, I've had plenty of folks try to get me to lay this burden down. Lay it down. Just lay the burden down, Paul, and let's, you know, just lay it down. Now, this is just, you know, you're a workhorse. Well, at least they called me the whole horse. Praise God. How many are hearing this? Oh, just lay it down. I can't. Where will I go? Go on tour? Go on tour someplace and give deliverance messages? No, we've preached enough to one another. God, hey, we've preached enough, we've taught enough, we've done all this. There's too much of it going on. Just drop your burden and let's go here. Come fly with me, come fly with me. Oh, no. Say amen, somebody. And so all of you are going to have people non-commissioned. Not commissioned of God, trying to pull you out. You listening on the radio. Where can you go? Nowhere. And then there's the delivery of the Word of God. That's a burden. Do you think it's easy to deliver a message which you believe you received from God? It's very unpopular, like work. Like feed the poor. Like preach the gospel. Not what always seems to be easy for folks. Oh, I know how to, I can people please. I mean, we all can. We know how to do it. We know how to sham, and we know how to pretend, and we know how to get into that. But I'm talking about a message from God. No, you have taken up the sword. Now, you must not exaggerate the truth on the one hand. But then on the other hand, you must not allow slumber. But then on the other hand, you must not allow emotionalism to take over. I've been to meetings where they get so emotional, they roll. And they jump up and down and they do everything but froth at the mouth. And then they'll say, "Whoo! Did you feel a spirit?" I says, "I don't know what spirit it was, but it was not of God. There was no order in this house, and God is a God of order. If you must do that, do it in your closet. Really? Really? Do it in your closet. You have scared people to death with your shenanigans. And they can just turn it on and turn it off. Prophesy, carry on, and then turn it off. Oh, I could have just busted him right in his face, you hear somebody say, right after a big spiritual meeting. And they go back into the spiritual meeting and get spiritual, go back out of the spiritual meeting, and his knuckles in your FaceTime. I mean, hey, that is not a burden of the word of the Lord. It's a burden to show off. It's a burden of see me. No, the burden of the Lord a lot of times is in the delivery of it. I must not so encourage the weak that I forget the strong. Or condemn the strong as to grieve the weak. I must preach unmerited grace but not license to sin. See, you pick up the sword and you've got to know how to use that sword. Sometimes people can kill people with a sword. A sword is not to kill people with. It's not Jack the Ripper type thing. It's the Word of God. You have to know how to wield it. And yet I can't denounce sin as to drive men to despair. You hear a lot of that, don't you? And people running around, running, why am I sinning? Oh, tomorrow, I'm going to quit. Hey, you're in a body of sin. You have a nature that's that way. And it's only the grace of God. Allow the grace of God to take over in your life. See, the Lord must direct us. Plow now, he says. Yes, on that hard and on that rocky soil, plow now. Now sow, he says. Yes, on the rocky ground and on the sandy ground and on the good soil. Don't worry about where you throw that seed. Throw it. Did you ever wonder how the seed got in there, where the thorns were and the rocks were and everything? You sowed it over there. God is the one that gives the increase. Well, I'm not going to sow it over there. That's too much of a stony heart. That person is real sandy. It'll just go in there and it'll not... God is the one that gives the increase. God said, I will raise up the low, perverted things of the world to confound the wise. And so we must pray, Lord, please direct me. I could be wrong. Was that so? Lord, give me wisdom, and Lord, give me understanding, so when I get wisdom, I'll understand what to do with it. We have messages that are going around the world. What a burden. Will they bring people to Jesus Christ? And then after we preach the gospel, is it all done? No, we preach and teach and lead to Jesus. And then we pray for people. And I know one thing. Once a minister, always a minister. Once ministers that you've received the burden of the Lord, you're always going to have the burden of the Lord. It's never going to leave you. Till death comes. Till death do you part. And also, it's a burden because it is a rebuke of sin. You won't always be popular. And next, the word of the Lord gives a rebuff to human pride. I believe the doctrines of the gospel seem shaped to bring contempt of all human glory. It's shaped to do that. Here we have a moral man, and we tell him he was shapen in iniquity. Here's a guy, and you're going to have to tell him, sir, you were sheepened in iniquity. And he's a good fellow, and he takes care of his house, and he takes care of everything, and a family, and goes to church, pays his tithes, doesn't smoke, doesn't swear. Imagine telling a man like that he was sheepened in iniquity. And so here we have a man that in his own mind has a very fine and righteous character, and yet you must tell him, we were all sheepened in iniquity. We tell this righteous man that your righteousness is but filthy rags. No, look out. We're finding heaven. Some people are finding heaven on their own efforts, and I hear a lot of preachers that are finding heaven on their own efforts, and that is the legalist. You cannot get into heaven with a set of law books, no matter how you know all the loopholes, you won't make it in. There's only one way you can make it into heaven, and that is having Jesus as your personal Savior. And that's a free gift. You don't have to do a thing for it, but just say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. Come on into my heart and save me. That's it. Now, that just, I'm sorry, legalists, but I mean, if you want to hold your people with a whip and a lash, that's the gospel. It's foolishness. The Bible says it's foolishness. You want foolish things? I'll give you something foolish. Receive me. I'll give you eternal life. Is that foolish enough for you? Then we have to come against human intellect all the time, don't we? God says, hush, be still, and know that I am God. 300 of the top scientists around the world right now are agreeing with the Bible. Laying down their Tyrannosaurus bones. And so people get offended at the truth. Yeah, and let me close this. The word of the Lord, it is a burden. Because he says in the Bible, freely, freely I've given to you, freely, freely you have received, freely, freely give it away. God has given me the message, the gospel, freely. I can remember without the gospel how miserable I was. And then that flood of peace and all that quivering and shaking and fear and all of those things. I mean real fear, steady, all the time. Not that you never have any fear anymore. You fight that. But it doesn't last. But all that shaking and all the alcohol and all those things falling off of me. And things are still falling off. When I get to heaven, there's just going to be a road of stuff that falls off me. You'll be able to trace me. I'll leave my stink all along the way on the road to heaven. All them parts I won't need. And the word of the Lord is a burden because many times people don't hear it. They haven't been wakened up yet. You have to tell them to stop chewing gum. You have to say, hey, look at me. I'm talking to you now. I want to give you the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the word of the Lord is a burden also because I'm going to have to give an account on that final day. And every preacher will have to give that account. Everyone that has a ministry called to God will have to give an account. Disciples' ministry will have to give an account. The word of the Lord is a burden. It should be such a burden to us that we turn to dust. Yet I must have a load on me when I preach. I must have a burden. If I just got up here and I didn't have a burden, where would be the preaching? How can you get up? Preachers, how can you get up and I can tell you have no burden because all you can do is condemn people? Your burden is yourself, and you unburden yourself and all of your weaknesses and all the things you want to get rid of, and you place those burdens on others, and you won't even lift a finger to help them. You are the 1986 Pharisees. You stand in the door. And then there's some that make the pastor's burden even heavier. By being lukewarm or spotty, by arguing, by causing divisions. Oh, how we need workers in this final hour here. But the greatest burden is the burden of the gospel. Receive, you listening on the radio, maybe someone in here tonight. Receive free, unmerited love. Receive free, unmerited grace. Receive freely, unmerited forgiveness. You say, my sinning is excessive. I say His grace is more excessive. His grace is sufficient. I'm going to read one more little piece of scripture, and here it is. It's Psalm 55 and 22. Listen, preachers, if you're listening on the radio here. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Isn't it wisdom to cast it on Him, your burden? He cast your lot for you. Every man is given his own lot. God gives it to him. Predestined it, prearranged it. He cast your lot for you, so cast your lot on Him. Does that make sense? He gives you a portion of suffering. Accept it with cheerful resignation. And then take it back to Him by your assured confidence. God gives you a burden. God gives you afflictions. God gives you suffering. Now cast your burdens that He's given to you. Go through the fiery trials and then cast your burdens. Call upon Him in the time of trouble. He knows your trouble. He sent it to you. I'm not talking about trouble you get into on your own. He sent you there. How do you think you got in the lion's den or in the fiery furnace? You had a burden for the word of the Lord. How do you think you got on Mount Carmel? You had a burden of the word of the Lord. How do you think that you said, throw me overboard, throw me overboard? And you laid in the belly of a whale for 3 days, a fish. You had a burden of the word of the Lord. How do you think that you were standing in that temple of sin and you pushed down the pillars? You had a burden of the word of the Lord. How do you think you went down for that seventh dip like Naaman? Because you had a burden of the word of the Lord. You had that burden, didn't you? And in this end, when you will be called into the courts and you'll be called into those places for ministering the gospel, and you irritate people till they gnash their teeth and they drag you into the councils. Don't worry what you're to say. God says, in that hour, I'll fill your mouth. I'll give you what to say in that hour. Why? Because you had a burden of the word of the Lord. When some of you go to prison or some of you are martyred, why are you doing that? Because you had a burden of the word of the Lord. Why are you involved in mission ministry? Because you had a burden of the word of the Lord. What do you do with your burden? You can't get away from it. It will go with you to your grave. And if you try to run away from that burden, it will haunt you till you go to that grave. Oh, backslider Christian, you preachers that have left because somebody wanted you to leave your ministry, wanted you, maybe you're a missionary someplace, maybe your family didn't want you to be there. God, you're going to have to forsake all for Jesus Christ, a lot of you. You might not look like the best thing, but you'll feel good about yourself because you had a burden of the word of the Lord. Now He gives you a portion of suffering. Accept it cheerfully. Go on back and give that which He's given to you. Give it back to Him and say, Lord, I went through the fire with it. Here it is. Then He says, He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Stand, it's saying in God. So if you want ease from the load, lay it on God. Lay it to my charge. You know what will happen? He will take the burden, but He will also pick you up with that burden. You can be lifted up while you're carrying the burden of the word of the Lord. Because you know why? And the Bible says, because His grace is sufficient unto thee. I got a burden. You people in here tonight have a burden. Some of you listening on the radio maybe have a burden. Don't you leave your burden for no one. You'd be the most miserable person in the whole world to leave where God has put you. And I don't care what trial you're going through. That does not matter. I mean, if you have to change your mind, change your mind! And preachers are calling me and they're saying, well, you know, I've already committed myself to do this or that because, you know, and I've already told everybody. And I said, I don't care what you've told them. You're miserable. You wouldn't be calling me. Tell them you've changed your mind. Tell them you can't leave your burden. 35,000 people we're dealing with right now. There's such an influx of people coming from St. Paul. There's such an influx of people coming from Lake Street and Franklin Avenue. They're coming in the hordes right now. People coming in by the hordes. The first of the month now is like it was at the end of the month. About the third or fourth or fifth, there's more people coming in than there were a couple of years back at the end of the month. Hey, water, water everywhere, not a drop to drink. Why? Because we won't offer it. Lord, I pray tonight that you give us a burden of the word of the Lord. And Lord, help us to remember that we carry that burden to our grave. You can't get away from it. You can't get around it. You can't get over it. You can't get by it. You got to come in at the door, and you got to be able to be carrying that burden when you come in that door. Lord, I just thank you for this night, and I thank you for all these people that are here tonight. Thank you for that radio audience out there. May they have a burden of the word of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Is there anyone here tonight that doesn't know Jesus as their personal Savior? You can have him tonight. You can have him here tonight. Young man, are you born again? No. I'm so glad you're here tonight. And you know what? You were eating this message up. You really were. You know why you were eating up? The Lord put a burden on you to listen. So great. Do you know Marty? Your brother. What's your name? Chris, come on up here, Chris. Come on up here. Come on up here. You want to come up, Marty? Come on up, Marty. You're younger than Marty, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to pray with you. Can you just hold hands here? And just pray after me. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, I am a sinner.
I am a sinner.
Come into my heart.
Come into my heart.
And save me.
And save me.
And baptize me.
Baptize me.
In God's Holy Spirit.
In God's Holy Spirit.
Lord.
Lord.
Give me a new language. To praise your holy name. Praise God, I'm saved.
Praise God, I'm saved.
And filled. With God's Holy Spirit.
With God's Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
God bless you. Got touched in you.
Oh, yeah.
I'm so glad you're here tonight.
I am too.
Oh, God. And Marty's just a great brother here, you know. He's concerned about you, and I can see you really got touched. And, you know, he's just a great, you know, person. I think the world of him, and I can see that you really got touched by the Lord tonight. And I knew you're just special, okay?
All right.
Okay, God bless you. You see what happens when you get a burden for the word of the Lord, people get saved.
There you have it. That was the conclusion to episode 229. That was part two of The Burden. Be sure to listen to Pastor Paul's podcast every Friday for part one and every Sunday for part two. That's unless we're buried into work. Have a great week. We'll see you back here next Friday for Rock Plows. Plow now, brown cow.
To England or France, you may like to gamble, you might like to dance, you may be the heavyweight champion of the world, you may be a socialite with a long string of pearls, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil, or it may be yourself some money. Maybe a rock and roll addict dancing on the stage. Money, drugs at your command. Women in a cage. You may be a businessman or some high degree thief. They may call you doctor or they may call you chief. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
It may be a state trooper. It may be a young Turk. Maybe the head of some bigger TV network. You may be rich or poor. You may be blind or lame. Maybe living in another country under another name. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Maybe construction worker working on a home. Might be living in a mansion. You might live in a dome. You may own guns and you may even own tanks. You may be somebody's landlord. You may even own banks. But you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve
yes,
somebody.
You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be devil, it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
You may be a preacher, preacher, spiritual pride. Maybe a city councilman taking bribes on the side. Maybe working in a barber shop, you may know how to cut hair. It may be somebody's mistress, maybe somebody's heir, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Might like to wear cotton, might like to wear silk. Might like to drink whiskey, might like to drink milk. Might like to eat caviar, you might like to eat bread. Maybe sleeping on the floor, sleeping in a king-size bed. But you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve
yes, indeed,
somebody.
You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna to serve somebody. Well, you may call me Terry, or you may call me Timmy. You may call me Bobby, or you may call me Zimmy. You may call me RJ, you may call me Ray. You may call me anything, no matter what you say. You're still gonna have to serve somebody. To serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, and it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.